It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, the world's longest Saturday after party, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, all the women are pointy, and salvation is as close as the recline lever on the side of the Barca lounger you're sitting in. This week, brand new scandal in organized religion. Some big deal preacher has joined the ranks of the fallen televangelists. From the heights of running a very successful ministry in the Chicago area, how successful? Well, his Sunday services were attracting 24,000 attendees. Wonder where he holds those services, in a stadium? The guy's name is Bill Hybels, and he just resigned as chief of the WCCC. That's the Willow Creek Community Church. Seems like they dug up some dirt on old Bill, him having an extended affair with some babe, and him, a married man. And now, he's at the top of his own church's shit list. So Bill Hybel is right down there in the sewer of sexual misconduct with Harvey Weinstein. But who the hell was surprised by Harvey, or any Hollywood denizen? Don't we hold them to a lower standard? Of course, but the God providers, their people expect more from them, don't they? There's a long list of other men of the cloth, some with unidentified stains on those cloths, going back quite a ways. In fact, maybe it was the old school holy rollers' errant ways that opened up all these opportunities for carnal scandal. Anybody remember Jimmy Swaggart? Ooh, he was a big swinging appendage in the televangelist world for many years, until it all blew up when he got in a beef with a competing preacher named Marvin Gorman. Jimmy said some unchristian-like things about Marvin, claiming he was a dirty, dirty bird who had been consorting with harlots. Next thing you know, Marvin gets defrocked. Now there's an interesting word, isn't it? Defrocked. The hell is a frock anyways? Of course, it's some kind of preacher getup that priests and deacons and altar boys and so on wear. I don't know if Marvin ever actually wore a frock, but they tore it right off the poor guy. But it seems Marvin was a take-no-shit dude, and he decides he's gonna fix Jimmy's ass. So he whistles up his son Randy and says, "Son, we're gonna rat-fuck that sumbitch Jimmy." No, I made that quote up, but I bet the actual quote wasn't too far off. And somehow these guys knew that there was a hooker operating out of the Travel Inn in Baton Rouge, which coincidentally means red rod. And so Randy hotfoots it over there with his pal Garland Bilbo. You gotta love these names. And they rent a room at the motel and set up a nifty little sting operation with a telephoto camera behind a black curtain. And sure enough, they photograph Jimmy sneaking into room number Lucky 7. And just to be sure they get a good word with him upon his exit, they let the air out of his tires while he's in there, taking care of business with the courtesan. That's when they called Marvin, who arrived just as Jimmy was exiting room number 7. Now Marvin had the goods on Jimmy, but he offered him a deal. If Jimmy would say he lied about Marvin's indiscretions, Marvin would 86 the pictures and dummy up about Jimmy's adventures in this no-tell motel. According to various sources, Jimmy accepted the deal, but did not honor it. And a year later, to the day, Marvin had a note hand-delivered to Jimmy saying, "Time's up," which Jimmy promptly ignored. And that's when Marvin switched on one big-ass warehouse fan at top speed and started throwing fistfuls of shit into it. Next thing you know, Jimmy is also defrocked. And here's that famous clip of him with tears rolling down his cheeks like the blood of the Savior himself.
I have sinned against you, my Lord. And I would ask that your precious blood would wash and cleanse every stain until it is in the seas of God's forgetfulness. Thank you.
Jimmy. But don't cry for Jimmy, my friends, for you cannot keep a good man down. After years of deep reflection and contrition, Jimmy came back, rekindled the flame of redemption, found his spiritual center, and with fire in his belly was once again caught fooling around with a hooker. Seems Jimmy was out this way in Indio, California. That's a dusty wide spot in the road in the Coachella Valley, not too far from Palm Springs. The story goes that he was tooling down the asphalt in his white Jaguar and saw a woman on the left and stopped to ask if she might need a ride and have some sex. Well, she hopped right into Jimmy's Jag. That's about when a California Highway Patrolman pulled up to see just why Jimmy's Jag was headed the wrong way in the road. In a statement made later, Jimmy's pickup, one Rosemary Garcia, said, quote, "He asked me for sex. I mean, that's why he stopped me. That's what I do. I'm a prostitute." Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a big round of applause for Rosemary. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's hear it for Rosemary. I hereby name Rosemary Honest Woman of the Week. When's the last time anybody heard a hooker admit to being a hooker? Don't they always sugarcoat it with sex worker or call girl or working girl or some other euphemism? God bless Rosemary, wherever she is. Of course, now Jimmy was once again in a deep barrel of shit, and this time, instead of stonewalling and delaying, this time he wisely chose to take the bull by the horns and confront this new scandal head on. He stood in the pulpit, looked out over his flock, took a deep breath, and said, "The Lord told me it's flat none of your business." I fucking love this guy. Because you know what? With those 10 words, he gut-punched hypocrisy hard enough to make it shit its pants. Do you care if your dentist fools around with hookers? How about your accountant? No? The FedEx man? Well, good. Then why should anybody care if some televangelist does? What if old Jimmy really gave some people comfort and inspiration and strength and wisdom and $50 for a happy ending massage? So what? What impact did Jimmy's secret jollies have on his validity as a preacher man? Because if that's all Jimmy ever did, why would it matter? However, if Jimmy ever pointed a finger at someone and judged or shamed that person for their carnal peccadilloes, well, that would ratchet Jimmy squarely into the hypocrite zone. And then he'd deserve all the abuse and scorn they could heap on him. But I don't know that he did that. I was never a fan, just sort of aware of him and his tonsorial architecture. His hair was, and is, even now that he's in his 80s, quite amazing. Which might be de rigueur for bona fide televangelists. Thou shalt have hair. Spectacular, thick, lush, amazing hair that sometimes violates the laws of physics. But then, so did Moses and Abraham and J.C. himself, which is why I have grown out my own manly locks since beginning this ministry. Maybe I'll post a picture of myself looking televangelical soon. But back to Jimmy's statement. Besides putting the world on notice that however he got his rocks off was nobody's fucking business, he also said, God told him so. And you know what? Maybe God did. Because JC himself, who was the Son of God, readily accepted. No, he embraced, as part of his inner circle, the infamous Mary Magdalene, who was, indeed, a hooker. Perhaps reformed, because they do mention she had 7 demons cast out of her, or maybe not. Because Luke said in his gospel, quote, the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Unquote. Now, some claim Mary Magdalene may have had family wealth, but you know any rich chicks that become hookers? Neither do I. Either way, she was kind of like a patroni of this show and this ministry. She was part of the inner circle of the inner sanctum. She traveled extensively with JC. She was a witness to his crucifixion, his burial, and first to discover his resurrection. That's a pretty damn big honor. Seems JC didn't have any problem with hookers or former hookers. So maybe he did tell Jimmy to tell everybody to mind their own damn business. So this Bill High Bell guy, I'd never heard of him until this nasty story came out. But I'll tell you this, as soon as the shit flew, Bill folded like a cheap umbrella and resigned as head of the operation he founded. And for that, he gets no respect from me. Of course, there are doubtless loads of financial angles to the story we know nothing about. The WCCC has turned the reins over to a couple of women, and they are putting the wood to Bill's ass with significant vigor. Teaching pastor Nancy Ortberg says the woman with whom Hybels had a 14-year affair was suicidal, and he was allowed to continue counseling the woman, even after the allegations came out. Counseling? Now there's an elastic word, if ever I heard one. How might that counseling have played out? Maybe old Bill stopped by his girlfriend's house and found her standing on a stool with a noose around her neck. Maybe he talked her off that stool.
Now, honey, come down off of that stool. That's a good girl. Let's get that nasty rope off of your neck. Here, that's it. Lie down here and rest a spell. Here, let me have that rope. Okay, let's put this here rope round your wrists and ankles where it belongs. Hush now. Now you look good.
No, I just made that part up. But the other stuff is from a story in the Christian Post. And it ends with another anecdote from Church Big Wheel Nancy Ortberg. When she first got a clue Bill might have been a man in need, it seems they were in a hotel in Tasmania on church business. Holy shit, Tasmania! We gotta grow this ministry and get me the hell out of the San Fernando Valley. Come on, people. So there's Nancy and Bill, and I suppose that old Tasmanian devil got hold of Bill, and he hugs her goodbye, and Nancy says, quote,
he hugged me and held me tightly for about 30 seconds. Stunned, I finally slipped my arms up between us and pushed him away. I went back to my hotel room and cried, not understanding what had just happened.
Really, Nancy? I would venture to guess that any girl who's ever slow danced with a boy would know exactly what happened there. Anyways, Nancy finished her statement by saying that Hybels' resignation over multiple allegations of sexual misconduct was not enough to rectify the damage caused by his alleged actions, and called for more contrition and accountability. More contrition, huh? Why not nail him to a cross, Nancy? That ought to get his attention. So this self-righteous, phony innocent, sanctimonious bullshit will never be a part of this ministry. Just like JC did, we welcome hookers here, especially the ones who readily and proudly self-identify as such. In fact, we laud their honesty. According to the Bible, JC's hooker friend Mary Magdalene once washed his feet and dried them with her hair, which was purportedly magnificent, and he did not kick her away because of her profession. Jimmy Swaggart is still in business, still preaching. He's got himself the Sun Life Broadcasting Network. That's Sun with an O. And he's got the whole family involved now. His kid Donnie, wife Frances, and grandson, Gabriel Swaggart. I wonder if he's a horn player. Now, I'd be remiss if I did not mention the passing of a fantastic radio pioneer, Art Bell, the guy who made Hocus Pocus radio mainstream with his fantastic explorations of things like Area 51 and shadow people and time travelers and anything that goes bump in the night. God bless you, Art, whichever dimension you're in now, and thanks for all the great entertainment. I'll have a cool Art Bell story for you in this Tuesday's episode, and I'll also have a kick-ass story involving me, dog shit, the racetrack, fireworks, pimps, various weapons, cops, a car chase, and gunplay. All true. So come on back and visit with me Tuesday. In the meantime, thanks everyone for stopping by today. There's plenty more beer and ribs if you want to hang around a while and interface with your fellow sinners. If you like what you just heard, go to the show's homepage, thatlarryshow.com, and click that Patreon button to support this unique ministry. It's the only one in the world that is 100% bullshit free. That, in and of itself, is a hell of a reason to contribute, isn't it? So help us keep the ribs hot and the beer cold and become a patron. Besides helping us out, you get access to loads of bonus content, signed books, a new digital and interactive book, and access to me personally. You can find out more details at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Questions or comments? Email me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I'll see you Tuesday. And until then, try to be good.